Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey everybody, here we are with Alex Lee, senior leader of C3SYD, and Mel Marshall, all the way from Canberra. And it's so great to have you here, Mel, who leads the congregation, C3 Watson. You know, the reason that I've asked these two guys to be on this particular podcast is to talk about Easter. It's coming up in a very short time. And I just thought it'd be great to reflect on some of the reasons why we in the church see Easter as such a vital part of the calendar and why we remember it in such a large way. I'd also like to talk about why it would probably be the most attended service in the year. This and Christmas. Definitely Christmas attracts many people, but Easter, it always seems to me, attracts so many new people, so many people who don't normally go to church. And I think that's an awesome thing. It's a great thing to start with. But Alex, yes, Pastor sir. Alex from C3SYD, can I ask you,
Pastor Phil,
what are you doing for Easter in your church?
We've been talking about Easter like, you know, it's the Christian Super Bowl. So in terms of importance, it's very, very important moment in the year. Like you said, Easter, Christmas, two really key moments where people are naturally gathering to church. So it'd be a real shame when there's already some natural momentum towards those moments to kind of just skip on past it. So we have spent March going through the book of Romans and really getting clear as a church about what we believe about the gospel. And, you know, I've learned this from you, Pastor Phil, when the church is on fire, that's when really things start to shape the world around them. So getting really clear about what we believe about sin. Hello.
Hello.
Clear about what we believe about salvation.
Right.
Clear about what we believe about life in Christ. And so we've been unpacking that for a month. And from the beginning of March saying, hey, everybody, now's the time to start praying, thinking, who's coming with you for Easter? And we don't want to trip over Easter. We want to kind of come prepared. We've been saying, don't wake up on Thursday or get to Thursday evening thinking, oh, quick, I need to text someone to come on Good Friday. No, let's start now. So I guess that intentionality in preparing for Easter, that's been really a big thing for us as a church to get
Absolutely.
Ready.
Tell me, Mel, why you think Easter is so important for us to remember in the church?
I think Resurrection Sunday changed everything. So that's really why it's so important. And as the church, every day we obviously remember what Jesus did for us, but as we all come together and just celebrate and look at the victory that he obtained for us, the freedom, the healing, like it's the gospel, really. Like Alex was saying, it's the gospel and it's the power of God and it's the good news. And so, Easter is so important.
Super important for churches all over the world to remember Easter and to hold it fast. There's a few other characters who step into the limelight around these times. I don't know how the Easter Bunny got a showing. Not sure how Santa Claus really rose to such a prominence. And I mean, around Christmas time, we really do need to remind people that actually this is about the time when Jesus died on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had anybody pay your debt for you. It's a bad feeling. You know, it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
But it's a feeling of, wow, I better go say thank you to this person who just paid off my mortgage for me. Or that's never happened to me. But, I mean, that'd be – I mean, imagine if you had a $2 million mortgage in Sydney and somebody suffered and worked and all their life and gave themselves for it and to pay off your debt. And, I mean, and you could not ignore that.
No.
You couldn't avoid that person. You'd have to go and say, well, heck, what do I do? And in fact, you know, he died with no strings attached, Alex. He didn't say, look, you can have me only if you make me the Lord of your life. He actually said, no, I'll just be your savior if that's all you want. But I would urge you to actually go a little further and not just have me as savior, but as Lord.
As Lord.
You know, coming back to the idea of Jesus being that substitutionary death on the cross, how do we make that real in our own lives? I mean, what's it mean to us here in 2023?
Well, I mean, I heard this thing, it might have been Tim Keller or someone said, every religion in the world says live a good life, live a good life and give it to God. Christianity is the only faith that says Jesus lived a good life and he gives it to you. No other faith has that promise. No other faith has this substitutionary moment. And I think that sense that he who knew no sin became sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Like you're saying, Pastor Phil, to come to terms with the fact that we are broken, we are sinners. Like that's what we've been talking about. It's like, hey guys, you know, you go to the self-help book section, and it says, unlock your inner champion, and you're amazing, and you can do everything on your own. But you know, really, you suck a bit. You kind of suck. Like we're actually all got a sin bent. And I think it's really important to have that revelation, because without that, the gospel doesn't really land. Jesus has done in the substitution.
Right.
So I think that's really important part of the revelation of what Jesus has done is actually what he saved us from.
Right. And now we're in Lent right now, preparing for the impact of Easter when it comes. And for many Christian traditions, this is a pretty momentous time in the Christian calendar, because it's like getting my heart ready, getting my mind ready to fully appreciate what Jesus has done and to try and identify with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. In terms of the spiritual impact on your own life, Mel, how do you feel this time, like Lent and Easter, actually, where does that take your thoughts and your spiritual devotion?
Gratefulness, thankfulness, that would be the first thing. Devotion. My gosh, Jesus died for me. So personal thanks. I think the whole thing between Lord, you know, Savior and Lord is really important here in this in this situation. So he's my Savior, yes, but he's also my Lord. And so gratefulness would be my first thought.
It's a pretty big area too. I mean, I wouldn't underestimate ever the power of thankfulness and gratefulness. And when Jesus healed those 10 lepers, only one came back to say thank you, to close the loop. And and I think it's pretty interesting when Jesus says, go and be whole. I think there's a difference between just being healed and being made whole. And I think when we actually come back to the Lord and say, hey, thank you, and I don't want to just say it, I want to actually live it, a life of gratitude to the Lord is one of the greatest offerings of our life there is, I think. Yeah. So Alex, with your world, in terms of approaching Easter, tell me about the spiritual impact in your life.
In my personal world, I mean, like, so my habits are there, and as you know, I mean, prayer is a really big rock, and one that always trying to keep that stake in the ground really strong. But I think like Mel said, I think the way it lands is, you know, like communion, we're remembering Christ. So for me, in my prayer life, I'm always trying to make sure I've come under Christ. And so it's very easy to be doing things for him and in his name, but not actually be under his authority and under what he's done. So not running ahead of Jesus, you know, like a good follower of Christ doesn't lag behind, but doesn't run ahead. So you've got to have humility to stay behind Jesus, but hunger to keep up with him.
Right.
And that's what I want to have in my life. I feel like this time of year is to remember that I'm a follower of Jesus. I've got to stay humble to say, Lord, you're first, you're king, I'm not. This is your church. My life is yours. It's a living sacrifice. So humble to stay behind him, but then hungry of, I want to keep up with Christ. I don't want him pushing me up a hill.
Right.
I hate pushing people up a hill. In fact, when I've got to push someone up a hill, I say, hey, find another hill. You know, but I never want to be that with Jesus. I want him to feel like I'm right there with him, but I'm not running ahead. So in my prayer life, I'm trying to get that tension strong, that I'm humble, but I'm hungry at the same time.
Beautiful. Yeah, you know, just a couple times in this conversation, we've mentioned the fact that, you know, like God does something in us and then our life is a response to that rather than trying to make our lives fantastic and then present that to God. So to me, it's a bit like, do you clean yourself before you get in the shower? No. You get in the shower to get clean.
Yeah.
And so I would just urge everybody in the whole world, look, if there's a church nearby, don't feel like I got to get my life clean before I go to church. I got to get religious. I don't know if it's, you know, if I'm worthy or if I'm qualified or if I'd be accepted. And maybe you have been judged by Christians in the church, and I'm sorry for that. I apologize. But if people could just reach out and say, you know what, I really should go back like that Samaritan, just say thank you to the Lord. And then I think the next step, as we've been kind of chatting about, just moving on from him only being Savior, fixing my life up, to actually being Lord, where I say, okay, from here on in, from this Easter, let Easter be an altar where I recommit and start again a whole, and I'd love pastors all around our movement and beyond to treat Easter like an altar call for a new start, a fresh beginning of new habits, like just coming to church each week.
Yeah.
Like starting to pray, starting to read the scriptures again. And so that it becomes like the Christian's New Year resolution, if you like, but empowered by the Holy Spirit to actually fulfill that. I think that'd be a great to have Easter as an altar, wouldn't you think, Alex?
You know, it's so true, Pastor. You know, David, the psalmist, the king, David, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Right.
The order of that line is so, so important, I think, because he says, the Lord is my shepherd.
Right.
So before he's my shepherd, first he's my Lord.
Right.
And I think a lot of times we are wanting God to guide us by still waters, lead us by green pastures, provide for us, but don't want him to be Lord. Mm-hmm. And to have his shepherd hand of guidance, he's actually got to be Lord first. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'd say this is a great time for people to get the Lordship of Jesus Christ first. Mm-hmm. And then you find your life coming under the covering and the mm-hmm. guiding hand of God. Mm-hmm. And you will be led to green pastures, and you will be led by still waters, and you will have a seat at the table in the presence of your enemies. And all that Psalm 23 says.
I mean, Mel, how are you approaching Easter yourself there? Like, would it be a great thing to just use it as a beginning again moment, a restart for some people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've got a number of things going on at Easter, but our basic message, I think, is that without God, life is meaningless. And so we're encouraging us all to keep, to come back to God and surrender, and let's, it, like an altar, just like you said, it's brilliant. So,
love that. Yeah. For me, the altar is a pretty important concept all through Scripture. And I would say that the cross itself was an altar where Jesus was the offering on the altar of the cross.
Yeah.
And probably, you know, when I say restart an altar, sometimes that can be just thought of as a human commitment. I'm going to make a decision to start doing things. But actually, if you bring God into the picture and you put, my experience is that with people, when they actually do commit with their heart to be on that altar, the fire of God falls on them, and they get a refreshed passion and power to actually fulfill the thing that they're committing to.
Yeah.
And so I would say to people, don't be nervous about surrendering to the Lord. I think Easter's a really good time for us to just come, not just to attend because it's a religious thing to do and to bring along the family and eat some hot cross buns, and so, but actually to delve a little deeper about a far more important thing called eternal life.
Yes.
And if we in our churches can provide that environment, I think we'll have revival, Alex. I think revival, a fire could fall.
I believe that realignment, getting realigned to Christ is where power is.
Yeah.
There's no power outside of that. And again, like you said, we do keep coming back to this, I guess, but for me, that's really what my feeling for the church is, that we've got to get into alignment with Christ, and that's where power flows, blessing flows, you know, down the Aaron's beard, down the, it commands a blessing.
And totally.
That's not just unity together, it's also alignment to Christ, to the head of the church. So I think fire.
Just in coming to a close, in terms of what happens at Easter in your church, you're going to have services on over the weekend. What will those services be?
Okay. We've got a Good Friday service, which will be more reflective communion, just remembering all that Jesus did. And then we have our two morning services on Easter Sunday with some celebration in between both of those services, and we're really looking forward to it. We have a lot of prodigals that come back over Easter, we find as well, which is amazing and awesome.
Right. C3 Watson, Good Friday and Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Pastor Alex, what are you planning on?
We're talking about this changes everything. I think Mel said that earlier. That's our theme for Easter.
Right.
So Good Friday, we're in the north and the west, so in our two hubs. So we've got two services on the Friday, 9 a.m., all people around Sydney, we're saying come along. And then Sunday, Easter Sunday, all locations. We're talking about Friday, we're talking about how his death changed everything.
Right.
And then we're talking about how the resurrection changed everything. And I think it's so important, the resurrection, it is the key event. yep. that sets apart in terms of like an apologetic approach, because I know on Sunday there's going to be a lot of people who are questioning God, questioning faith. I mean, you can't argue with the fact that Jesus rose from the dead.
Sure.
If he rose, everything he said is has all authority. Anything you don't like that he said, if he rose from the dead, he is God. And right. either he's completely nuts or he's God. I think a lot of people are neutral about God. They're neutral about Jesus, but you actually can't be. He's right. either completely, he's a madman or right. he's God. And that's what we're going to be presenting on Friday.
Fantastic.
Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, just to give some very basic understandings about Jesus is so important in today's world, because some people don't even know who he is. Is he a political candidate? Is he exactly. from the next village? Is he, who's this? Well, he actually is God.
Yeah.
Came from that unbelievable place called heaven, which we have, it's unlawful to speak about it. Paul said, who went there, he said, wow. It's beyond description. It's soaring towers of golden, a celestial city. You know, this glorious, unbelievable place where only those who've had their sins washed out of their life can enter.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. You just can't get in there. You can't get into the presence of God and blow the life out of you. And, and how are we going to ever stand before the creator of a universe with more stars than there are grains of sand on the beach?
I mean,
this is the Almighty God, and how are we ever going to get an audience with him? By saying, oh, I did this good thing and I did that little good thing. Nothing can get us in there except the imputed life of Jesus. And I just think it's such an opportunity to tell people, hey, there's a gift waiting for you at Easter. That's what we're celebrating, because the Son of God has come and he died on your behalf so that you could get free from the stuff that'll keep you earthbound and give you eternal life, which will, you know, set you up for life beyond death. And
preach the gospel.
That's it, right? Yeah, I mean,
I don't know about you, Mel, but I think I just got saved again.
Yeah, that's me.
Are you going to have an altar call now, Pastor Bill? Can we respond?
Good.
Salvation prayer.
Do you know, I tell you, let me tell you, I'll finish with this, because I'm pretty excited about heaven and and eternity right now. For some reason, I just feel like we could be coming to the drawing of the end of this age.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, everybody was jumping around 50 years ago saying, you know, the end of the world's coming. I'm not kind of saying that I believe it could be tomorrow or whatever, but my Lord, the amount of trouble and strife and wars and signs that are taking place, and one of the greatest hopes we have through anything that happens on earth is that we've got eternal life.
Yeah.
And when I die and then get raised like Jesus, anybody who receives Christ goes through the same process. Yes. They rise from the dead the same way he did. And that's with a new body. You, Alex, and Mel, not that you need them, but I do. We're getting new bodies.
Woo!
And they're eternal bodies. It's like difference between plastic and Kevlar. It's like I got this body that's going to be able to last forever. I kind of have a few private beliefs about what energy it runs on, like light, because we glow apparently, you know. We'll be able to travel, do interstellar travel, and all of these things which are obvious from scripture.
Exciting.
And we don't talk about it much, because some people think, oh, we're going to sit on a cloud and play out. No.
Someone should tell Elon Musk that.
There's enough galaxies out there for everybody to have one and to rule and reign and, you know, You'll have the awesome. Alex Lee galaxy, the Mel Marshall galaxy, or
many moons.
And I'll have the Pringle one, and you can come over and we'll have. We'll see. I mean, who knows? It's a mystery.
Yeah.
But I can tell you from this earth, which has been created so beautifully, God is creating a new heavens and a new earth.
Amen.
And people can become part of that simply by receiving Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Any parting words, Pastor Al, for people at Easter?
I mean, I think let's go for it, church. I think we need to go for it. I think we shouldn't be timid, even though the world, there's a lot of pressure on the church. There's a lot of voices about the church. I think the church should be bold and secure in our identity. And our identity is that we belong to Jesus. Right. And if God's for us, who can be against us? Let's present the gospel, grace, and truth.
Right.
Both together, not in tension, but in fullness, fully grace, fully truth. And let's not apologize about the greatest message on earth.
Right. And Mal, Pastor Mal from C3 Watson, give us a quick thought for Easter.
Thought for Easter. The gospel is still the good news. We need the good news.
Yeah.
Jesus' death and resurrection changed everything. And we can boldly proclaim that because people need to hear it.
Amen.
And it will change their life for good.
Amen.
Absolutely. Life-changing. Amen. Thanks, guys. Been a pleasure to talk with you. And everybody, very happy Easter, safe and happy holidays, and we look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.